بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، so we begin this evening seeking the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and His assistance and His blessing and success from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. We begin reading the matan of Nawaqidh al-Islam, the actual text of this great treatise, the treatise by the great scholar and imam Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullahu ta'ala. And he mentions rahimahullahu ta'ala, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, with the name of Allah the most gracious and the most merciful. So the author, he began this treatise with the basmala. He began by stating bismillahir rahmanir rahim, and in this manner rahimahullahu ta'ala, he is following the book of Allah azza wa jal, and likewise he is following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his letters that he wrote sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the kings, and he sent them to the people calling them to al-Islam, and he made them the letters that were dictated by him sallallahu alayhi wasallam and were written for him. And the people of knowledge, they have gathered all of these treaties and letters and rasail that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sent to the different people and into the different lands, calling their leaders to al-Islam. And they all began in this manner with the basmala, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. So therefore the author, he began in the same manner as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began his book. And likewise he began in the same manner that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to begin his messages and his letters that he would write to the people. Salawatullahi wa salamuhu wa barakatuhu alayhi. So the people of knowledge, they mention about the basmala, that what is intended by this, and by beginning with the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, is that this is in reality seeking the help of Allah. And that the basmala, al-basmala kalimatu al-isti'ana, that the statement bismillahir rahmanir rahim, this is actually a statement of seeking aid and support and seeking the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, also intended from this statement is to seek the blessing of Allah by beginning with His name, to seek the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by beginning with His name. So therefore there are two benefits that the people of knowledge, they mention from the basmala. And the first one is that it is a statement of seeking aid and support. And a person, he will begin with the name of Allah, seeking His aid and His help, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid him and to support him and to give him success. So therefore, based upon that, then there are two actions going on whenever a person, he makes this statement. And the first one is with the tongue, and he will say bismillahir rahmanir rahim with his tongue. But while he is saying that, there's another action going on, and that is the action of the heart. And his heart is moving likewise and hoping for the help and the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and putting his trust and his faith in Him, tabaraka wa ta'ala, to have help and to have aid and to have success and to have support. The other benefit likewise is that one also begins with the name of Allah first in his deeds and in his actions and the likes like this, in order to seek the blessing of Allah and hoping for His blessing subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah aids an individual and helps him and blesses him in his actions and his statements, then he will be successful and he will have much benefit in his statements and goodness in his actions. So therefore the author, he began in this manner. And then he says, اعلم أن من أعظم نواقض الإسلام عشرة. That he said, rahimahullahu ta'ala, know that verily from the greatest of the invalidators of al-Islam are 10. In some of the texts, it mentioned the wording a bit differently. And some of them are mentioned, or some of the texts that has come, اعلم أن نواقض الإسلام عشرة. أو عشرة نواقض, like this, know that the invalidators of Islam are 10, or are 10 invalidators or nullifiers. But here in this text here, and this is very important and an extra benefit in this wording, he mentioned rahimahullahu ta'ala, اعلم أن من أعظم نواقض الإسلام عشرة, that from the greatest nullifiers of Islam are 10. So the men here, the people of knowledge and the scholars of the Lugha, they say that men tufidu at-tab'idh, men at-tab'idhiyah, meaning some, and from the greatest nawaqidh of al-Islam, from the greatest invalidators of al-Islam, are 10, meaning that they're not limited to 10. And the other wordings of the other texts, they're understood in this light. If we have a text and we're reading and it says, know that the invalidators of Islam are 10 invalidators or nullifiers, then know from that the intent is that from the greatest of them, and from the most important of them, and from the most dangerous of them. But in reality, there are many. But in reality, there are many. And these are the most dangerous and the most occurring or most often occurring amongst the ummah, and the most important, and they are from the usul of these affairs and the like. So therefore the author, he has chosen them and specified them and clarified them in this treatise. So he began in this manner, i'lam, ay ta'allam, meaning learn and know, and i'lam, yani know. But it means any to know. In order to know, you have to learn. So this is something that we have to know, meaning we have to learn it and we have to understand it. And this is also in accordance with the methodology of the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in more than one verse, he begins in this manner. And for example, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, اعلموا أن الله شديد العقاب وأن الله غفور رحيم. Know that Allah is severe in punishment and that Allah is the most forgiving and most merciful. Likewise, in Surah Al-Hadid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, اعلموا أن الله يحيي الأرض بعد موتها. Know that Allah, he brings life to the earth after its death. And likewise, in Surah Muhammad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, فَاعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. You must know that there's nothing worthy of a worship except for Allah, and seek forgiveness for your sins. So therefore, this statement, اعلم, أو اعلموا, and you must know, this is brought in this manner in the beginning of the sentence, or in the beginning of the speech, in order to draw the attention of the listener, and to clarify that what is going to be mentioned after this is very important, and that an individual, he should pay attention, and he should listen attentively. And this is something that he needs to learn and needs to know, and needs to have concern and care for. Therefore, he should listen with his mind and with his ears, and likewise listen with his heart being present. So, therefore, اعلم أن من أعظم نواقض الإسلام عشرة, that verity from the greatest invalidators of al-Islam, there are 10. So these are from the greatest of them, but they're not all of them. Yani nawaqidh al-Islam and al-nawaqidh, this has preceded the clarification of this word and what it means. And we know that al-nawaqidh, they are al-mufsidat wal-mubtilat. They are the nullifiers and invalidators and those affairs that will corrupt the deen from its origin, and that will wipe out the deen and also invalidate all of the actions as well, entirely. And they are the affairs that will destroy the shahada, yadhan billah, and wipe it out entirely and remove it and take a person from al-Islam, the one who commits it in this manner. So therefore, it is known that an individual who accepts Islam and he testifies with the shahadatain, it is an obligation for him to be diligent and to have great care and concern for his Islam, and likewise for his shahada and for his tawheed, and that one must know and realize and understand and remember that the greatest thing he has, and the most important and most beneficial and the best of all good that he has been given in this life, is his deen. It's his deen, it's his tawheed, his iman, his tamassuk bis sunnah, holding fast to the sunnah, the obedience that he is upon to Allah and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, a believer, he will not do anything to jeopardize this or to put it in danger. And from that is learning everything that could invalidate that or cause deficiency to come to that. And in this aspect, the author, he has written this treatise to clarify to the people and to warn them, so that they can be upon clarity and insight in their deen, and they can be steadfast upon the straight path, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, upon insight. So therefore he mentioned that from the greatest of the invalidators of al-Islam, there are 10. And they're not only 10, but rather some of the people of knowledge have mentioned, have numbered them all the way to 400. And up to 400 different means or ways that a person he could leave the deen. Ayyadhan billah. But these are the usul, and these are the foundations. And it has been mentioned by Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullahu ta'ala, that ar-riddatu laha usulun. Laha usul, that ar-riddah is to leave the deen, is to leave Islam after entering into the deen, to leave it. And it has foundations and fundamentals. And he mentioned four of them. In the first one, he said, hafidhahullahu ta'ala, qawlul kufri wa shirki min ghayri ikrah. That a person, he will make a statement of disbelief or a statement of shirk without being coerced or forced. And he would make it intentionally, a statement of disbelief or a statement of shirk. This is a fundamental way of exiting from the deen, and it was speech. Likewise, he said the second foundation or fundamental principle with regards to ar-riddah and leaving the deen, i'tiqadul kufri wa shirk, that one would have a creed or belief of disbelief, and his creed would be a creed of disbelief or a creed of shirk and associating partners. And in his belief system and in his creed, he would have some type of creed that is disbelief or shirk. And likewise, the third principle, the third fundamental principle with regards to ar-riddah, fi'lul kufri wa shirk, that one would perform an action of disbelief or an action of shirk. So therefore we see that thus far there are three foundations of leaving the deen. And that is, the first one is that one could make a statement of disbelief or make a statement of shirk. Or in his heart he could have a creed, and his creed is disbelief, and he believes in something that is in reality kufr. Or in his belief he is associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his creed and in his belief, and this is shirk. So therefore the riddah can occur by way of speech, or it can occur by way of creed, and likewise by way of action. A person could commit an action which is disbelief, or an action which is considered shirk, and in this manner leave the deen. Likewise, the fourth asl that he mentioned from usul ar-riddah is a shak fi deen, that one would have doubt and hesitate, and he would have doubt about the truthfulness of the Qur'an, or doubt about aqidah and the proper creed, or he would have doubt about something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam he has come with. He would doubt about that. This is all considered a type of riddah and disbelief. A type of riddah and disbelief. And Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullahu ta'ala, in his explanation of this treatise, he had mentioned the details of these affairs. Likewise, for those who want to find more information or read more about this affair and these usul al-riddah, he mentioned them in detail, hafidhahullahu ta'ala. So therefore we see that these nawaqidh, there are many of them, and they could occur by statement, or they could occur by action, or they could occur by creed, or they could occur by doubt. And we will see some examples of this in this text. And the author, he says, اعلم أن من أعظم نواقض الإسلام عشرة. Therefore, know that from the greatest of the invalidators or nullifiers of al-Islam are ten. And they're not all ten. They're not only ten, but rather from the greatest of them, and the most severe and most dangerous of them, and the most common occurring amongst those who ascribe to Islam from them are ten. So we see here that the author, he's speaking about nawaqidh al-Islam. Nawaqidh al-Islam. But someone may ask, what about nawaqidh al-Iman? Are they different? Somebody may say, here he's talking about the invalidators of al-Islam. What about the invalidators of al-Iman? Is this the same thing? And the answer is clear if we remember the term al-Islam whenever it is mentioned with the term al-Iman, or whenever they are mentioned alone. And we have studied previously in the studies of the pillars of al-Islam and the pillars of al-Iman, that these terms, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that whenever they are mentioned alone in a context, one by itself, then it includes the meaning of the other. And whenever they are mentioned together in the same context, then al-Islam is referring to the outward actions and al-Iman is referring to the inward actions. So here we see that al-Islam is mentioned alone. So therefore included in this understanding is al-Iman. So therefore nawaqidu al-Islami hiya nawaqidu al-Iman. It's the same thing. Those invalidators of al-Islam were the invalidators of al-Iman. And these are those affairs that would invalidate a person's shahada. And that will take him from the deen and take him out of the fold of faith and out of the fold of al-Islam entirely. نسألالله العافية والسلامة. اعلم أن من أعظم نواقض الإسلام عشرة. Know that from the greatest of the invalidators of al-Islam there are 10. الأول, the first, the author he mentions, رحمه الله, الشرك في عبادة الله تعالى. الشِّرْكُ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. The first one is to associate partners in the worship of Allah the Most High. Is to associate partners in the worship of Allah the Most High. الشِّرْكُ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. الشِّرْك in عِبَادَةِ Allah, in عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ, in the worship of Allah. So this word عِبَادَة is very important to understand its meaning. Linguistically and legislatively, and the people of knowledge, they mentioned that al-ibadah lughatan, in the linguistic meaning al-ibadah, it means al-dhul wal-khudu', it means to be humble and submissive and to surrender oneself and to comply with obedience. And it's mentioned yuqal tariqun mu'abbad, yani linguistically tariqun mu'abbad, yani mumahhad, yani a path that is paved and flat. They call it mu'abbad, and from the same verb or from the same word as al-ibadah. Or also they speak about a camel that has been tamed and has been trained and that is submissive for the rider and for the person to benefit from it. They call him ba'irun mu'abbad, ba'ir mu'abbad, a camel that is mu'abbad, a mudhallal, one that has been made subservient and made submissive, and it will surrender to the individual, and he can ride on it and he can benefit from it and milk it and he can put his belongings on it and the likes like that. It will comply to him whenever he orders it and the likes. It will be tamed. So this is the linguistic meaning, and it to be submissive and to comply and to surrender. And it's the people of knowledge, they mentioned from the verb عبده, عبده يعبده, أعبد عبادة وعبودية. And even Babi Nasara. So you say Abada. Abada Furanun Allah. So and so, he worshipped Allah. Ibadatan wa ubudiyatan. Ibadah is worship. And ubudiyah, it means servitude. And likewise, and to mean worship. To mean worship. Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in the introduction of his explanation of Kitab al Tawheed, he mentioned some beneficial statements with regards to the definition of ibadah. And he said, rahimahullahu ta'ala, al-ibadatu tutlaqu ala shay'ain, that worship or ibadah, this word is used to refer to two things. Al-awwal, the first one, at-ta'abbudu bima'na tadhalluli lillahi azza wa jal bifi'li awamirihi wa ijtinabi nawahihi mahabbatan wa ta'zima. The first one is to refer to the state of worship, التعبد بمعنى تذلل, and to worship meaning to surrender and be submissive and humble before Allah by complying to His commandments and staying away from His prohibitions and performing that with love and magnification and veneration. So therefore the first meaning or the first thing that this word is used for is to refer to the state of a person while he's in worship. And this is at ta'abud, yani ibadah, a person who is in a state of worship. And this will be with the presence of the heart, and it will be based upon love and veneration and magnification. And this is the reality of the worshiper. The one who is worshiping Allah Azza wa Jal, he does not worship Allah heedlessly. This is in reality not true worship. But rather he will perform the actions of worship outwardly with his body while he is in a state of ibadah, in a state of servitude, in a state of ubudiyah, in a state where he is performing these actions based upon love and surrender and hope and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this manner, this is considered ibadah, yani the state of an individual. And he will perform the actions that are obligatory, any of the commandments, and he will perform them because he loves Allah. And he hopes for his reward. And he fears his punishment, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, he will stay away from the prohibitions in the same manner, with love for Allah azza wa jal, and belief in him, and faith in him, and hope for his reward, and fear of his punishment. Magnifying the commandments and prohibitions, in reality, is magnifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'zim al-awamir wal-nawahi ta'zimun lil-amiri wal-nahi. Showing true love and veneration for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is by magnifying His commandments and His prohibitions. So whenever one, he magnifies the commandments, in reality is magnifying and venerating and honoring and respecting the one who has commanded them. And likewise with the prohibitions. And likewise with their prohibitions. By respecting those prohibitions, in reality he is respecting the one who has prohibited them. And he is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second meaning he mentioned, الثاني, المتعبد به, the thing that one is worshipping with, yani the action of worship itself. And he says, فَمَعْنَاهُ كَمَا قَالَ شَيْخُ الْإِسْلَامِ, and the meaning of this, just like Shaykh al-Islam, he has mentioned, yani Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he mentioned this in his book Al-Ubudiyyah. He said that rahimahullah ta'ala ismun jami'un likulli ma yuhibbuhu Allah wa yardahu min al-aqwali wal-a'mali al-zahira wa-batina. That al-ibadah, it is, yani, with reference to the actions, yani, of worship, and the ibadah with regards to the worship, meaning the actions that are being performed and the deeds of worship. This word is an inclusive term, or a comprehensive term, that includes everything that Allah loves and is pleased with, from speech and actions. From speech and actions, outwardly and inwardly, or inwardly and outwardly. So, therefore, this is a concise term, and it includes many affairs. And those affairs, they are the issues, and the actions, and the statements that Allah loves, and He is pleased with. And he means those things that Allah, He has commanded to perform them, hoping for His reward, sincerity for Him, in a manner according to the sunnah of His Prophet. This is called ibadah. This is called ibadah. And likewise, leaving off that which is impermissible, all of this is considered ibadah. And there are actions and statements that are done inwardly, and likewise outwardly. And likewise outwardly. We see here, based upon that al-ibadah, in the legislation, it is what Shaykh al-Islam, he has mentioned. The ibadah, legislatively, this is what Shaykh al-Islam, he has mentioned. Everything that Allah loves and is pleased with, from speech and action. From speech and action, apparently, and hidden, or inwardly and outwardly. And this includes that a person, he will perform these actions based upon love and reverence, and based upon surrendering and submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these actions that are beloved to Allah and pleasing to Allah, they must be performed in this manner. They must be performed in this manner, with love and with hope and with fear and with submission and surrender and humbleness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykh al-Islam, he clarified this issue likewise in his book Al-Ubudiyyah, and he mentioned, فَمَنْ خَضَعَ لِإِنسَانٍ مَعَ بُغْضِهِ لَهُ لَا يُكُونُ عَابِدًا لَهُ. That if an individual, he were to surrender to a person, if someone were to surrender and humble himself before a person, but he did not, but along with that, he disliked him, and that he would not be considered worshipping him, an abid lahu. He would not be considered a worshipper to him. And he surrendered to him, but he did not love him, and he disliked him, or hated him, or detested him. So therefore, he would not be considered worshipping him. وَلَوْ أَحَبَّ شَيْئًا وَلَمْ يَخْضَعْ لَهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ عَابِدًا لَهُ. And if he were to love something, but he did not submit to it and surrender to it and comply to it, then likewise he would not be considered a worshipper of that thing. كَمَا قَدْ يُحِبُّ وَلَدَهُ وَصَدِيقَهُ. Just like how a person, maybe he loves his son or his friend or companion. So therefore, yani ibadah, to clarify, it is these two affairs are gathered there. And that is love and veneration and magnification, and likewise humbleness and submission and surrender. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this, that ibadah ghayatul hubbi ma'a ghayati al-dhull wal-khudu', that ibadah, or the state of ibadah, this is the epitome or the peak of love. the peak of love and the peak of surrender and submission. So therefore, these actions that are beloved to Allah, they must be committed and they must be performed in this manner. These actions that are beloved to Allah, they must be performed in this manner with love. So while the body parts are acting, likewise the heart is moving. While the body parts are moving, likewise the heart is moving with love and surrender and submission. And in this manner, a person can truly be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, we know that ibadah, it has two conditions, and that is al-ikhlas wa mutaba'ah. And likewise, ibadah, it has arkan and pillars, and they are three. And they are al-mahabbatu wa raja'u wa khawf, and that is to perform the act of worship based upon love and hope and fear. And likewise, also ibadah, it has anwa', different types. And there are ibadat qalbiyyah, actions of worship that are done with the heart, like love and hope and fear and trust and reliance and seeking aid and help and dependence and the likes. And there are ibadat qawliyah, there are acts of worship that are statements, and the best of them, la ilaha illallah, the statement of la ilaha illallah. And likewise, there are ibadat badaniyah, actions of worship that are done with the body parts, like salat and hajj and striving to seek knowledge and the likes like this. And also there are ibadat maliyah, actions of worship with the wealth, like performing the zakat that is obligatory, and also the charity that is not obligatory, and also striving in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal with one's wealth, and giving loans for the sake of Allah, and helping those in need for the sake of Allah, even if it's not a charity. Even giving a loan for the sake of Allah is ibadah. And beloved to Allah Azza wa Jalla, likewise spending money to buy pencils and notebooks and books and the likes like this, all of this is ibadah. The money that is spent in the path of Allah to learn or to teach, all of this is considered actions of worship. Some of them are done with the heart, and some of them are done with the body parts, and some of them are done with the tongue, and others are done with the wealth and the likes like this. All of this is considered ibadah. But the pillars of that are in the heart. And this ibadah, it must proceed from humbleness and submission and love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and love for what Allah loves and whom Allah loves, and surrender to Him and hoping for His reward and fearing His punishment. So going back to the text, the author, he says, the first invalidator and nullifier of al-Islam, الشرك في عبادة الله. الشرك في عبادة الله, to associate partners in the worship of Allah. So in that which has preceded, for someone to make shirk in these affairs, and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is something that would invalidate a person's Islam. And inshallah, in the class to come, we will discuss the issue of ashirk. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.